We're at Faith Bible Church. It's Thursday night Bible study. The date is 5/1/2014, and we're in a series. We're going through Ephesians. We're going to exegete the whole book of Ephesians, but we jumped off at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where in Christ we're blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. So tonight, the topic's going to be, the doctrine is, in Christ, we're new creations, we're new creatures, a new creation. So let's open up with prayer, and we'll look at the blessing of that. Because what I'm hoping that, as we rejoice in all these spiritual blessings in Christ, and they're all by grace, that it causes us to rejoice. And we love Him because He first loved us. And it causes us to want to really serve God out of gratitude, not to get some laws, do and be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. Grace is like Paul in Romans chapter 12. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body. See, presenting is, I desire to want to do it. So let's go to prayer, and I pray that God will just, through His Holy Spirit, just bless us tonight with understanding. Father, we just give You all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank You, Lord, for You've given us a book that's inspired by You, that Your Holy Spirit wrote. He used men, but He caused them to write exactly what You want to get down. He used what was in their minds, their vocabulary, and what was in their cupboard. But all Scripture is God-breathed. That meant the final product, the finished product. So we just thank You for that, Lord. We thank You, You give us principles for understanding it. You tell us to rightly divide it, that we might not get confused, that we might see differences and might know who You've made us as members of Your body, as new creatures and a new creation called the body of Christ. And I pray that that would cause us, God, to not just to see differences, but to apply Your grace to the details of our lives. That Your grace might grasp our heart, because we haven't really grasped Your grace unless it's grasped us. And I pray Your Holy Spirit will just be the real teacher here tonight, Lord. I pray He takes us deep into a deeper depth, that He gives us eyes to see, hearts to understand, and that Christ would receive the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, again, in Christ we're new creatures, a new creation. So we're going to look at first the old man, that the old creation. The old man was completely ruined at the fall. When that theologians talk about depraved, man can't do anything to save himself. But yet, when we talk about being depraved, a depraved person can believe the gospel. You know, as you share the gospel with them. But a depraved person, you have that sin bent towards sin. And a person born in Adam, as we'll see, has that, that sinful DNA that Adam passed that rebels against God. And that's self-centered. Actually, it's idolatry. So the old creation was completely ruined at the fall. When Adam sinned, fallen man in Adam cannot please God. So Adam fell when he sinned, when he rebelled. He believed the lie, remember? Eve believed that. Eve was deceived. Adam deliberately rebelled because God gave that command to Adam. So go to Romans chapter 8, verse 8. And man and Adam, fallen man, cannot please God. No matter how religious, how moral, how committed a person is. I'll give the good example, Mother Teresa. I don't know her heart. I don't know. I've read some things. I'm not going to give my opinion on that, just so I can leave that to you. But as many good things that she did, helping the poor in Calcutta, she sacrificed pretty much her own life. But if her faith wasn't in Christ, that He died for her, that's how she's justified, then she wouldn't have been saved.
Yeah.
And see, people get upset. My uncle mentioned, he said, if Mother Teresa ain't in heaven, and I'm not saying she is or she ain't. All I'm saying is, if she trusted in Christ, that's why she'll be in heaven. That's how you are saved and given spiritual life, trusting in Christ through His death, burial, and His resurrection. And what I do want to do, maybe clear up a little bit about in Catholicism, they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, don't they?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They stand for the Trinity, the death, burial, and resurrection, the virgin birth. That's Orthodox in that. You'll have in Pentecostal churches, believing in the death, burial, and the resurrection. Baptist churches, right? Death, burial, and the resurrection. They say, we're saved by believing in that. But here's the thing. Satan's very subtle. See, he's going to use what? Counterfeit. And it's going to be so much like the real that if you don't really know the real and know the details about the real, you're going to be sucked in. To believe Jesus died, buried, and rose again is one thing. To realize we are justified through what He did, not by what we did, because you'll have people saying we believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection, denominations, churches, and evangelicalism, right? But do they try and get themselves justified before God? Do they confess their sins to get cleansed? Or are they trusting in Christ? And what Paul said, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins, right? Are they doing? Are they telling you got to get water baptized to be right with God? See what I'm saying? So just to say, Satan don't care if you believe that because it sounds so right. But do you believe only like what the Protestant Reformation came out with, that we're saved by grace alone through faith alone? And what's our authority? Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. And I'll add to that, Scripture alone, and God says that they didn't understand at that time because they were recovering grace truth, is that rightly divide the Scriptures. Otherwise, you can be scripturally accurate, but dispensationally wrong. It says in the Bible what? To repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, right? It's in the Bible. It's scripturally accurate if you want, but it's dispensationally wrong, because Paul told us there's only one baptism, and what's that? That you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So if there's only one, the rest, there ain't water baptism, there isn't baptism in the Holy Spirit later, because it said you're sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment you believe. So that's what I'm saying. You have to really study the Word and leave a lot of denominational and tradition, because Satan works to traditions, philosophies of men, they want to bring in human philosophy, actually. So the way we become a new creation, and I'm going to mention it now and then at the end, is what? Trusting in that Christ died, He was buried, He rose again, right? According to the Scriptures. But how are you saved? See, that's the way Christ can save us. But how are you saved? By believing that what? Ephesians 2:8-9. You're saved by grace, through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I quote that. I know I said mixed it up. But He said in four or five different ways, it ain't works, it's a gift. So if you come any other way, you bring anything to the table, you're not saved.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you work in church, yet right after that, Paul says, where God's workmanship created under good works. For believers, God wants to do good things to us, but it's not to get saved, it's not to stay saved. It's because you are saved, Christ in you wants to express His truth and His love out of you. Okay? So Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What's it mean to be in the flesh? To be in Adam. In the fallen human race. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's being in the old creation that after Adam's sin, the Spirit of God left him, as we went through in so many other studies. And not only that, he lost spiritual life and he gained a sin nature. And it's what Scripture describes as, you know, the carnal man, the flesh, things like that. So I don't care how good you are, you can't please God. Religion don't get it. It says clean up the flesh. You know, change the flesh. God says, you cannot please me in the flesh. I'll have nothing to do with the flesh. The only thing God will do is kill the flesh. That's what He did at the cross. Broke that power of sin. And so, go to Romans 3:23. Sometimes it takes the bad news, the darkness of a black velvet, and for a diamond to shine. Mm-hmm. You know? So, we're going into that, the bad news for the unsaved, but the good news is, you can't save yourself. Christ did it for you. Praise God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, not only did Adam sin, we were in Adam when he sinned, but we continually come up short, human beings. Even believers. If it wasn't for justification in Christ, we wouldn't have a chance. You know? Praise God that He sees us in His Son. Totally righteous in Him. He took from His account His righteousness, placed it on ours, took our sinfulness and placed it on His. He who knew no sin, what? Became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Go to 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Let's talk about fallen man. Mankind. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that do it good. No, not one. Because even Jesus, you know, people will say, yeah, but I'm a good person. What about my mom, my grandma, my grandpa? They were good people. Well, bad people can do good things. Do you remember what Jesus said? If you, who are evil, can give good gifts to your children, see, it's got, we're born with that sinful, rebellious nature. And you know where it shows up the most then? People think, you know, on the streets, right? You know, on in the funky things on cable TV and pornography and the internet. That's some way. But it comes out in religion. It's the most rebellious thing. Because God says there's none righteous, and what do they say? I'll make myself presentable. I'll clean my flesh up. You know? So we have no chance born into this world on our own. It said you were without Christ in Ephesians, right? Without hope. That to me, when I read that, it just does something in my heart. Without hope. Because I've been in my life without hope, going through a depression. But it's so sad, you know. If not for Christ, mankind would have no hope. Look, watch the newspapers, and you see what mankind, you know, you look at the wars. The Bible will tell you where they come from. What's James say? Where do wars come from? See, that's transdispensational. We can learn things from different places in the Bible. It says you want, because you can't have. See, it's that sinful nature. That's where he's going to. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now this is where, for believers, and how do you get here? By trusting that what? Christ died for your sins, that's it. Coming empty-handed to the cross. Therefore, see, he's connecting something he already said. Let's go to the verse before. This was dispensational, actually. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh, because in the body of Christ, what is there? Neither Jew nor Gentile, right? And actually, let's bring it to us, because neither black or white, brown or yellow, we're one in Christ. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. So we know Christ was the Messiah, right, of Israel, their king. But now we don't know him that way in the body of Christ. What do we know him as? Head of the body, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him. We're connected. We're one with him. Praise God. So therefore, in the dispensation of grace now, if any man be in Christ, now where's it at?
In Christ.
Everything we have, anything good from God or with God, our relationship is what? Being in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so that tells you if they're not in Christ, they don't have, you know, people say, oh, well, we're all God's children. You hear that before?
Yeah.
No, we're all offsprings, if you want, of when God created Adam, and that was his creation, right? And we come from Adam, but we're not his children anymore. See, there was separation once Adam fell. So now we don't have the spiritual DNA. We don't have his life in us until we trust in Christ. And what happens? Christ comes, Christ in you, your hope for glory. Christ comes and indwells us by his Holy Spirit. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, people twist this around, especially in religion. See, you're a new creature. We're an Adam, a fallen creature, separated from God, spiritually dead, completely unrighteous before God. Now we're a new creation, somebody you weren't before, when you trusted in Christ. And what I want to show is, people say, see, we're new creations, so old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And they go, see, Christians can't sin. You know, if you're really saved, you won't sin. Or if they water down a little bit from the stance, you can't continue in sin. That's not what this verse is saying. What it means is everything you were in Adam is gone. You died. What's the same Romans 6? Don't you know? You know, God said we died. We were buried. We rose with Christ. Everything that we were in Adam no longer exists. We're a new creation of spirit. We're a part of a spiritually alive organism that's never been before. And it's because of Christ's resurrection life in us. So that's what it's talking about. We'll never be in Adam again. Now, does that mean the sin nature is gone?
No.
Because Paul says, what I want to do, I don't want to do. What I want to do... See, it's there, but here's the thing. The wonderful truth of we're complete in Christ. We have an identity in Christ, holy without blemish, perfect in his sight. Some people call it their position. I'll say that, but that sounds a little sterile to me. It is your position before God, how he looks at you. But it's an identity. It's who you are. This is who I am as a child of God. Yet, the sin nature is still there. Mm-hmm. But his power has been broke, so we never have to give into it. And what's funny is, a lot of believers, because they're not doing some of the things they used to be doing, like me, out partying, womanizing, you know, whatever it was when I was younger. But they don't see what gossip and attitudes of the heart, self-righteousness, dividing, especially in rightly dividers. There's a lot of division, arguments and stuff. So what? That's that idolatrous mindset in the flesh. I'm smarter than the next. Instead of, I learn to rightly divide so I can learn God's will, so I can live out a life of love and truth, right? So I can build up the body, not so I can impress everybody. And that's where a lot of people get to. Right division is not just to understand differences and get a bunch of knowledge. It's taking that knowledge and God transforming our minds, our thinking, and our thinking precedes our attitude. Our thinking changes our attitude. God's thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then God changes our attitudes, which will produce actions. That's what God wants to do. Produce love, actions. That's what charity means, right? Love and action, right? That's what He wants us to do. To be loving, not puffed up. And that's what you need to rightly divide the word to get to who you are in Christ, to know our identity in Christ. But then it goes deeper. God takes us to where Paul talks about perfecting of the saints, maturing. It's so we can love and be humble. And what? Think of others more higher than yourself. You know, it doesn't. You know, think of a proper. You rejoice in who you've been made in Christ, not in all these, you know, what I can do. And like Paul says, everything I can do, it's dung, it's garbage, it's rubbish, you know. So we're new creations in Christ. In Christ, we become a new creature, part of a new creation called a member of the body of Christ. We're now acceptable unto God. We're justified. We're declared righteous. And that's what I was talking about earlier. A lot of denominations and what you would say in Christendom, they believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But do they do things like walk the aisle and make yourself right with God? Or like I said, water baptism or confession of sins. And they're trying to get themselves justified before God. So do you really believe, you know, what the scripture says, what Christ... No works involved. For being right with God, for salvation, the works come out of love.
Right.
And when you're loving, you don't even think you're working. It's a joy, you know. So now, we're in union with Christ. We're one with Him. He indwells our human spirit and gives us spiritual life. Go to Colossians 3:3. Couple books to the right. For ye are dead. Where are you dead in? Adam. You died who you were. You'll never go back there again. You know, what's psychology tell you got to do? And it's infiltrated in church. If you got a problem, you got to go back to your childhood. Right? You got to go back to see what mommy, she potty trained you to earlier. You know, I didn't get that. I remember I used to want this tractor that kind of used to push with the pedals. I didn't get it. I got a used swim bike, never a new one. You know, that's why I did drugs, right? Yeah, because I didn't get what I wanted. But it's you know, God says you died. You ended. When you trusted in Christ that He died for your sins, you died in Adam. You were buried. Why is it buried? You'll never come back. You bury a dead person, right? And then you rose with Christ. So the farthest you go back as a new creation is in the resurrection. We don't got to go back to our childhood. We're new creations. Now, things can affect people, you know, in their thinking, but that's where being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We start looking at life through God's perspective, and that transforms our attitudes, you know. It really humbles us. I was listening to a tape, and this dude was getting into how, even as believers, that sinful nature is so, it's actually idolatry focused. It's me. No, it's not about God. It's about me. Yeah? And very convicting, because it's in all of us. And like I said, it comes out in different ways. It can come out in pride. But that's where knowing your identity, you don't got to stay there, but it's realizing what that's, we're all capable of. If we haven't done some things, you say, I could never do that. For the right circumstances, for the right situation, we could all do things you would never believe. And it usually doesn't happen in one step. It's a little step sometime. You know, Satan gets a little foothold in, you know, and it's like, hey, ain't no danger here. Oop, got the knee in. You know, before you know it, you know, we're taken captive to do His will, whether it be to err, maybe whatever it is in our life, that He would get a foothold to keep us from being focused and growing and being used by God, I think. But when we look here, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You died, now we're hid in Christ. Because you think about it, some sins, whatever that might be, I got my own, you got your own, we all got our own, okay? Like that we don't tell the pastor about or tell everybody in the church, you know. Come to church, he just did it, maybe screaming at the wife in the car and the kids, you know. Come to church, hey, how you doing? Praise God, just, you know what I mean? But the thing is, we're hid in God, in Christ. God sees us in His Son. He doesn't deal with us based on our sins. You know what He deals with us? Always based on our identity. Who are you? Bob George used to have a great illustration, and I'm one to snatch, you know, illustrations. If they're good, I'll give credit sometime. I don't remember where I got it from, but this, look in Paul's epistles, because that's where we get our doctrine from, right? All the Bible's for us, and you can see principles, and you see that idolatry in Israel, right? You see it before Israel in Adam and Eve, right? Wanting, desiring some over God. You see it in Israel, the idolatry, right? You see it in the nation Israel when with their rejection of Christ, and then you see the anger of the flesh with the stoning of Stephen. Right, because what? He told them truth, right? And then you'll see it in the body of Christ, even with, in that sin nature. And God always tells us, because we can walk in the flesh. You know, we can, like I said, in different ways. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Right? You go, no, I forgave them. But all of a sudden, when you see him at church, you're like, oh, I'll talk over here, you know, because our personalities don't click. And I was thinking the other day, I'm like, God, you never told us to like somebody. We ain't got to like somebody, love somebody. You know? That's spiritual maturity, to love. You know, love a person even when they disagree with us. When they do something, look at Christ. He loved us, and we were filthy sinners. And what did He do? He gave Himself for us. Before we were made, declared justified in Christ. We didn't deserve it. But God always, Paul always, what? To the saints in Corinth, right? He tells them their identity. You know, that's what you were. See, in Adam, and I think 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But you were washed. You were set apart, sanctified, right? By the Holy Spirit. So God always tells us who we are, and then He says, why are you acting like that? That's not bringing me glory. It's not healthy for you. It's not, are you experiencing joy and peace? You know? And so, Bob George used to give a good illustration. A butterfly is what? Where'd they come from? Before that. Caterpillar, hairy old worm, and I hate the way they look, the way their back goes up and down. You know, they ain't even got a nice walk. You know what I mean? They've got a cute little walk or anything, you know. Like a ladybug, she got a cute little walk, right? But anyway, they're this hairy worm. They can't fly. You know, even if they tried, they could go to, he used to put it, you could go to Worm U University. They'll tell you all about aerodynamics and you know, tell you about, you know, what you do when you're in flight, you know, once you're there. But can a caterpillar jump and he'd fall on his face, right? See, that's unsaved man. You know, a lot of times believers are telling unsaved people, act like a Christian. We don't believe in this. Don't do this, you know. And we should stand for some things, but sometimes we stand against so many things that unbelievers just think we're against everything. We need to tell them what we're for. What God is for you. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them, right? And that's our ministry to share. Christ died for them. So, anyway, that caterpillar can't change himself. Some had to happen to become a butterfly. It's called metamorphosis, right? That cocoon goes around them. All right. And then what happens? Does he come out as a caterpillar?
He's trash.
He's a new... Metamorphosis, the idea is there, I believe, when Christ was transfigured on the Mount of Olives, it's the same word. What was true inwardly was shown outwardly. And then where it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The mind, see? The doctrine works in our minds, works in our attitudes, works in our will, doesn't force our will. We choose. But because our attitude's been changed, we choose to start stepping, walking in the Spirit. And so, they're a whole new creation. They ain't a caterpillar no more. That's like us. It's a perfect picture, if you want. It's a beautiful thing. I love butterflies. If I hit a bird, I feel a little bit bad, you know, but I'm like, they think they're slick. They'll go like, you ever see, they're like racing or something. They'll go right in front of your car, you know. But when I hit a butterfly, there's something about a butterfly, so beautiful and so just I feel real bad when I kill a butterfly. Watch the animal rights people come after me. But anyway, now, can a butterfly land and act like a caterpillar? Why not? He can still. He shouldn't. He doesn't have to. But can he land on the ground and walk over things and follow the rest of the caterpillars? Because he don't know who he is, or he forgot who he is. And so believers can act like an unbeliever. They'll never be an unbeliever again. They'll never be a caterpillar again. So God takes his word like a mirror. Okay? And he says, what do you see? Someone who's holy, without blemish, perfect in your sight, justified, righteous. I see a new creation, God. Why are you acting like a worm? Hairy worm. Kind of dumb, eh? Well, I thought so. I just was... Hopefully you'd see that. And what's he do? He tells you, remember who you are. Now, a butterfly can land and stay on the ground. But all he has to do to get back under the law of aerodynamics is what? Start spreading his wings. That's faith, if you want. Faith is believing what God says to us. That's why you rightly divide the word. And now I start walking in the Spirit. And what's it say? This is transdispensation, I believe, in Isaiah. Those who wait upon the Lord. And if I remember right, that word, I could be wrong, so I hope somebody who loves just correcting people. And if I am, let me know. I won't use it again. But you know how some people just want to get you. But I believe it means take a vacation. The wait. Take a vacation. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like the eagles, right? That's the idea I got. The Holy Spirit carrying us in our life. That being filled with the Spirit. I better get to the next thing here. But anyway, we're clothed in Christ Jesus. We're hid in Christ. We'll never be in Adam again. God will never see us as foul, as unrighteous, even if we walk like that. He already dealt with sin, so that's why he doesn't punish us. His discipline is what? All scriptures God breathed, right? Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Correcting and training. It's the word of God. It's not like under law where he's going to physically get us. So though the flesh or sin nature still is in the believer, will never again be in the flesh in Adam. Romans 8, 9 through 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So this is what I was talking about when, if in Pentecostal, and I love Pentecostals, you know, I have many brothers and sisters who are charismatic. If they've trusted in Christ, they're my brethren. But this is a doctrine that actually, that you get Christ and you get the Holy Spirit later. That attacks our completeness in Christ. The moment you trust in Christ, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that idea, I got to seek for the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit ain't in me, so I ain't saved. See, error begets error. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, we're dying, right? We're decaying, you know, we're all sagging and bagging, because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And good, go to the next. But if the Spirit of Him, Christ, that raised up Jesus, or the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He lives in you, and He's living comfortable in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your, give life. That's what that word means. Your mortal bodies. You notice he used a different word than flesh? Are mortal. You know, these bodies that we have, they're not evil in themselves. It's that sin nature that's still in these bodies. So we're saved people inwardly, but we're still in unsaved bodies. One day, praise God, I look so forward to no more struggle with sin. But only now can we really, I think, glorify God, like Kirk would you say, like never we'll be able to when we're in heaven. Because now we can glorify God while we still have that and bring Him glory by allowing Him to do what He wants to do in us. You know? And then you see the angels are observing us. And also, we should make an impact in the heavenlies because the principalities and powers, the ones that they don't want to admit, they thought they were wise in crucifying Christ because His Satan and His dominions. We remind them how foolish they were. You know? And then angels, see, angels, the ones who never fell, never sinned, right? They don't really understand grace that much until they see it in us. God doing something in us. You know, it's got to just bring a wonderment to them. So they're learning from us. And it's again, the Spirit of God that produces that life through our bodies. And also, the Holy Spirit, He only works through our new natures. See, our new natures can't sin. Our new natures only want to serve God. That's why I have a, what do you call it, when some bugs you, when you're here? When I hear about yielding, Kirkwood, I actually had pointed this out, and then I thought about it and looked through it. You know, because in a Bible version, he'll say something, so people got to make sure that to back up that teaching. Yield your members. All right. Yield means what? It's a wrestling term, if you want. What?
Give in.
Huh?
Give in.
Yeah, or submit. yield, submit. And UFC, I love Ultimate Fighting. I know Steve don't like it, but you can see where I'm coming from with this. I woke him up. I woke him up because now he's like, ah, it's listening. Okay. Submit. Okay. Let's go to the word submit. That's the one I was trying to think of anyway. Submit is a wrestling term. You're being forced to submit. Right? So where it says submit yourself unto God, when that can be interpreted, present. Just like in Romans chapter 12, in view of God's mercy, present your body. See, presenting is, I desire. See, our new nature's desires to serve God. What would you have to force to serve God? The flesh. That's why submit unto God, when I hear that term, it has the idea, I got to make myself. See, there is a choice and of our will, what we do. But God's looking, like giving. Does he want someone who gives under contrition, under guilt, under pressure? No. What's he want? You want to give. Why? Because God's been so good to me in so many different ways, and I want this message to go out. We share in giving. That means we each got to share. You know, it's like the work of the ministry. You know, when everyone does its share, what happens? You know, things happen. So God now deals with us not on the basis of law, but on the basis of our new identity in Christ. Go to Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, God deals with us based on what? Being in Christ. There's two kind of people in the world. Those in Adam, those in Christ. A good way to have it put is, what's it mean to be in Christ? Or in Adam. Well, Adam was our federal head. See, he represented, like when we went to the moon, I mean the United States, we planted the flag, what they say, the United States, landed on the moon, right? Well, I was alive that time. I wasn't on the moon. They represented the United States. When Adam fell, we were in Adam's loins. When he fell, we fell. Because we were the future, you know, the whole fallen human race that came out of that. And so, we're born in Adam with a nature, sinner, right? Identity, sinner. our identity, sinner, a nature, sinful, and a destiny, hell. In Christ, we have a new nature, right? A new identity, child of God, member of the body of Christ, right? A new nature. Our new nature doesn't sin. It desires to serve God. You know? And where's our destination? Heaven. Praise God. So it's all in Christ. God deals with us in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, if I pronounce that right. So what Paul called the Corinthians?
Saints.
what I tell you how God deals with us in our identity, right? Who we are, who he's made us in our... Now, what was the Corinthian church like? carnal. Paul said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, as carnal. And part of carnality was what? Divisions. I hope some people who's listening get that. They like to nitpick and bring divisions. Even in, I see some teaching that brings divisions, and even the grace movement, people really understand grace. You know, they were having sex with temple prostitutes. A guy's going, it's either his mother or his mother-in-law, having sex with her. They're suing each other, right? They were the most physically, if you want, attitude. They were, and you know where it came from? A worldly attitude. They thought like the world. Philosophies, worldly philosophies. And it worked out in their actions. But Paul says what? To the saints. And he reminds them, that's what some of yous were. And he gives these different characteristics of the flesh. That's who you were, but not no more. You've been washed. Right? You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit now. Go to Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So what is a saint? Beloved. I didn't think about this before. Not just loved. God so loved the world, right? So God loves the world, but He has a special love for His children. You're beloved. You know, don't everybody like to be their father or their mom's favorite? Mary always used to go when the mom was alive. You know I'm your favorite daughter, and all the other ones, and then Jacob will come. I'm her favorite grandson, you know. We are beloved. It's such an intimate term, I see. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. See, we're set apart ones, holy ones. Grace to you, and this is what we have now. God's not angry with us. What's to say? Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our relationship now because we're new creations. Go to Ephesians 5:8. Remember some of the other studies we did on our identity in Christ. How does God see us acceptable? Well, here. Just go real quick because I'm trying to end on time. Ephesians 1, since we're in Ephesians, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, set apart ones, which are at Ephesus, and the faithful, that means full of faith, in Christ Jesus. And, you know, he sort of writes the same thing to the Colossians, doesn't he? Full of faith. Do you know the Colossians had carnality going on in the church? Why did Paul tell them, put off fornication if they weren't doing it? When people say you can get, you know, it used to be just the second blessing of the Holy Spirit. And then it became, that came out of the holiness movement, then it became with evidence of speaking in tongues. That's where that idea. And the idea is, you don't have a sin nature no more. Every church, Paul has to deal with sin in believers' lives. Because why would he have to write it if they weren't capable of it, or if it wasn't going on? What's he say? Put it off. Lying to one another, put it off. Because that's not who you are anymore. Don't let that, the flesh cling in them areas. So, the faithful in Christ Jesus, then look in verse 3. This is actually where this series started from. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not He will if we do good, has blessed us, that's past tense, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So we're equipped. We lack nothing spiritually. And it's all in Christ. So when you get in Christ, you get the whole package. Now it's just unfolding that package, studying the Word of God, rightly divining, and find out what you got. Then in verse 5, having predestined us on adoption of children by Him, Jesus Christ, to Himself. So that's declaring us full-grown sons, because now we have everything, right? And then in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. It's not through your confession. It's not through doing this, through doing that. It's through what?
His
blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So, I'm trying to think of other verse. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Again, in Christ. We're accepted. We're holy. If we went to Colossians, I don't have the time, but you know the verses, I believe. We're holy without blemish. We're perfect in His sight. We're declared righteous, justified, blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? Now, that's our identity. That's our what we have. That's what we need. We're blessed with it, and now by faith we appropriate it. What's appropriate? We take hold of. What'd Paul say? Not that I've apprehended, but he wanted to apprehend life in Christ, resurrection life. I want to get hold on it. Not that I'm there. Paul never even got there, so don't get discouraged. He said, I'm not perfected yet. But see, Paul had the attitude. Do you want to grow? You know what I'm saying? Or do we just want to come to church and discuss, you know, some big heavy doctrine, you know? Or do we want to keep growing and growing and loving and being used by God and glorifying Christ? You know, I think our new nature wants to do that, you know? It's not just playing church. It's like Kirk would used to say, never separate life and ministry. Ministry is life. It's serving God, serving others, serving the body. It's reaching out to unsaved people. So, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, and Adam were darkness. Now what? We're children of light. But now ye are light in the Lord. So what's He tell us to do? Because of who we are. Walk as children of the light. Doesn't it make sense? See how He transforms our thinking? So I used to think, when I was a Pentecostal, and I used to walk the aisle every week, you know, recommit to the commitment I broke before, I was sincere. But I was trying to do it in my own strength, my own commitment. And kept falling on my face. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I wasn't taught my identity. I was taught commit. You know? And so, I remember saying, Lord, I'm so sick of trying. That I'm going to live this Christian life. You're going to have to do it. See, that's dependence. That's when He can do something. And I used to think, I remember it was my birthday, and I didn't get high for a while because I used to go up and down, you know, because you bring in your old baggage from before you got saved and stuff. And I remember walking down the street thinking, it's my birthday, you know. And here's the flesh thoughts. You never, until you start growing and you let the light of the Word shine, you start seeing what in fleshly attitudes was and where I wasn't transformed. And I thought, you know what? This ain't me. I always got into some trouble. I'm not a goody two-shoes. See, I thought I was fake it to make it, right? You know what I did? I went out and got high. When I understood my identity in Christ, them thoughts came because I got hurt. And I said, oh no, that's not me anymore. That was me and Adam. And I'm like, Lord, I thank You. You said You'll work this for my good. And you know what I had? Instead of that frustration and disappointment, I had joy and peace. See, that's walking in the Spirit. I wish I did it more often, actually, than I do. You know, none of us, we all come up short. None of us walk, like I said, you know, 3 inches off the the ground, you know. So you walk by and you feel the power. So unless you're Benny Hinn hitting people in your head on your, you know, on the way out, or that one guy punches people in the stomach. So anyway, it says, walk as children of light, because that's who you are. And God wants us to walk as who He's created us to be. So when we're acting inconsistent with our identity and we're sinning, God doesn't punish us, but He reasons with us based on our identity in Christ, based on His grace. And remember, attitude precedes action. Religions clean up the flesh. God says the flesh is dead. You don't got to be under it. He transforms our thinking, which works in our attitude, which precedes action. And then as we learn, even though we want to serve God, you got to realize, I can't do it on my own. All I can do is take the Word of God, apply it to the details of my life, by faith, depend on the Holy Spirit, Christ in me. It's like, Lord, I can't do this on my own, you know, but I can do it through You. Like Paul said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by the faithfulness or faith in the Son of God. That's a Christian life. So, I only got a couple more verses. We're transformed then. You say, how then? I want this transformation, right? How? Go to Romans 12:2. That's why it's so important to get in the Word of God. And be not conformed to this world, because we will. If you're not into the Word, if you're not applying the world will conform you into its mold. But be ye transformed. How? How are you changed? By the renewing. See, it's not a one time. The new mind, it's renewing over and over. We have to get in the Word of God. Let it transform us. Change us. We start thinking like God thinks. And what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That proven is, you're finding out what God's Word, it's true. It is good, it's perfect, it's acceptable. When we apply it, it starts verifying it in your lives, our lives. Colossians 1, 9-11. Everybody got it? Excuse me. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it about their love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for the saints, actually, too, do not cease to pray for you. I hope we're all praying for each other. And to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge, controlled by, filled with, of His will, and what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what we should be praying for each other too. That, why? So is it just to get puffed up? To know how to talk dispensationalism? I speak English, you know, I speak romance, and I speak dispensationalism. You know. Now, I don't play down dispensationalism. We have to rightly divide the Word. It's so important. But if it only gets to there, we're not to where God wants to bring us. Where we are loving, and what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And I believe out of that singular, and out of love comes all them other things. It says, and why do we want to get this knowledge of His will with in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? That you might walk worthy. Now we were never worthy, right? Worthy as a lamb, not sheep. But it just means walk consistent with the honor of being a child of God, of God Most High. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What pleases God? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen, see, it's not in our own strength. Strengthen with all might, and where? Where's that strength come from? According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. And the beginning of verse 12, giving thanks. It's that resurrection life in us. That's the power of God that He expresses through us. And I got one more verse. Colossians 1, 27 through 29. And we should be closing out about just right. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So, mid-ex dispensationalists, we love talking about the mystery, right? That was hid from other ages, that was given to the Apostle Paul. He's our apostle. We got to rightly divide the word. You know, see the difference between Israel's program and that was known and our program given to Apostle Paul that was hidden before the world began, right? But what is this whole mystery really all about? It is about them things. But that's just a basic understanding of what grace is about. Let's keep reading. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So what is the very deepness? What's God trying to bring us to in understanding the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what God wants us to know. Who we are. Our only hope of hope, actually, in this life, of ever living this Christian life, is Christ in us. And that's where Paul, his whole message is all about Christ. See, he didn't preach him according to prophecy as Messiah, as King, though he recognized he is that for Israel. But now as ascended to the right hand of the Father, right? We started out, what makes us new creations? Christ in us, our hope for glory. And now that union with Christ, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, right? Interceding for us. He's the head, we're the body, right? How can God say we're seated with Christ? Because we're a spiritual organism, the body of Christ. Many members,
one body,
right? One head, one body. So just like we're connected to Christ, we're seated in the heavenlies, so we walk worthy of our ambassadorship reaching out here. What about with each other? We're one in Christ. Remember Paul talked about marriage? He said a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, become one. He says, I'm talking about Christ. You know, he jumped, you're like, what? Because what's marriage? Oneness. Right? United. We're united to Christ. And not only that, we're united to each other. That person you don't like, that person that gets on your nerves. And if we can start seeing each other the way Christ, we start learning how Christ sees us. That's why it's so important to understand our identities. What we've been blessed with, every spiritual blessing. So now we can look at other people. And even when they talk about us, when they do something, we don't have to get bitter. Because we know we could be like that too. And we can love them just like Christ loved us. He didn't say, I'm just going to go to a cross if they'll walk worthy of the calling that I'm going to give them. He did it. And He suffered, right? For what? Our benefit. Right? The rich. He was rich, became poor, that we might become rich, what? Spiritually, not your pockets. So I think with that I'll close, and that's about right on time. So again, I hope it's been beneficial to you. That's what I pray. I don't try and impress everybody with my knowledge or diction, because I ain't got no... My diction is like Paul, you know, what they accused him of. But I do just pray that as I study, that the Holy Spirit would just express that truth, what things I'm learning, you know. And whenever I'm talking, one finger out, there's three pointed back at me. You know, Steve, when you're... teaching or preaching, there's a lot of conviction if you're being honest. And the thing is, nobody, I don't care, our pastor walks perfectly. He'll be the first to say it. But so it's hard to get up here, and you got to be honest with the word. You can't say, because I struggle here or here, well, I can't say about, you know, no. You got to be honest with the word. And only knowing, we start out a little bit about justification, that God sees us, He declares us righteous. He sees us justified in Christ. That's how we know we can be used. You know, if it depends on us, nah. So, let's pray. And God can use you in wherever you're at because of that. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we think of this wonderful grace that You've blessed us with in Christ. It's all in Him. And Paul's whole message, he wanted us to know Christ in us, our hope of glory. And it's Christ expressing Himself through us, bringing You glory, Father, touching other people's lives. Give us hearts and attitudes, Father. We're selfish, that in our flesh, and sometimes we don't even see it. We usually want what's beneficial to us. But Your Spirit wants to produce selflessness. And I pray, Lord, that You'll just... I thank You that You do work in us, both to will and to do according to Your good pleasure. And I pray more and more will grow, Father. I pray Your Spirit shows us things, wrong attitudes, so we can adjust that, Lord. That we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that we might be more and more loving, more available. Different areas of our life, open them doors and them rooms that we like to keep closed. And You see past them anyway. I don't know what we think we're hiding. You see, You know our very thoughts and our hearts, God. So thank You for Your grace in Christ Jesus, God. And the things we learn, Lord, I pray will apply in our lives, and we'll share these truths with others, that You give us boldness to share right the vision, the mystery, and the depths of Your grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.